so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Hallelujah, Jesus. We are, I'm telling you, God is up to a couple of things around here. Messing folk up. Hallelujah. You know, I get aggravated when other folks mess me up. I get a little aggravated sometimes when God messes me up. I mean, y'all can be all holy if you want to. But sometimes it aggravates me when God messes me up. I'm like, come on, God. But you just got to flow with it, right? Amen. Well, last Wednesday night, I began a sermon entitled Entering Into His Rest. Entering into His Rest. And tonight I want to continue on with it. And so we're going to just jump right on into the Word as you're turning to the book of Hebrews, which was our text for last Wednesday night. Just to give you another, or just to give you a hint, it may be our text for a couple of weeks. It's just, you know, we'll just see. But I want to talk to you about it. Entering into His Rest. Now, let me say to you that Sunday night we are having our movie. And, you know, and I'm amazed. I'm just amazed. I'm amazed that some people, you know, Pastor, there ain't nothing good out there. And then you find a decent movie and people want to pick it apart. You can't have it both ways. You know, well, it's not biblical. Now, listen, this is not theology. It's for entertainment purposes only. Now, if you get blessed out of it, so be it. But, Pastor, it's not biblical. Then don't watch any TV. Right? Don't watch it. Because, I mean, man, any sitcom you watch, I mean, it's the demise of the husband and the father, right? I mean, everybody's got a gay on one of them, right? So, you know. When the movie Noah come out, how many watched that movie Noah? I did. It was a good flick. Amen. But man, people were like, oh, it ain't biblical. Yeah. Now, the problem is some people are going to go, man, that was biblical. Because you don't know enough of the Bible to blow your nose. And, you know, but how many knows that neither was Charlton Heston and the Ten Commandments? I mean, I used to think that was the gospel. And then I started reading the Bible myself. And you remember that, the one scene that I always pick out of that, you know, everybody would come out on crutches, somebody leading a blind man and everything, and there was, you know, thousands, millions of them coming out. But the Bible said that not a sick or lame person come out of there. God healed everybody before they come out. So, you know, I ain't watched that movie since. Oh, yeah, I have. Shoot. Amen. I just got through watching Ben-Hur the other day. That was a pretty good flick. Well, that's a lot of violence. Well, you know I'm violent. Amen. Pastor, you shouldn't watch that violence. If I don't watch it, I might do it. It has the opposite effect on me. Amen. That's right. I haven't played in about 6 months, but I know how old I am, but I still like playing video games too. And most of my video games is killing people. I'm just right. I was watching a news story. This is no lie. I was watching a news story, and I heard a shot. I go, that's an AK-47. Sherry goes, how do you know that? I said, I can tell by the way it's firing. Ooh, that's an MPK-5 or MPK-7. That's right. Hey, and when I have a really bad night, I start naming the people I kill. Some nights it might be you. All right, Sherry said, take it back, quit. Take it back. It's not nobody in here. They were in the 11 o'clock service Sunday. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Now, see, now, that listen, and there are people that are probably online just going, I can't believe he said, believe it. Just believe it. Amen. I'm a real guy. I'm a real dude. Amen. You know, we walk around, you know, one lady, I won't mention her name. She's in here. But when she first started coming to church here, she said, "Pastor, I just picture you in your suit all the time. Like, you wake up in the morning with a suit, hair, in every place. Man, I wake up with a mohawk." Amen. Hallelujah. But anyway, so come and be entertained, right? Everybody all right? Amen. It is, say it with me. Look at somebody and say, it ain't scriptural. And if you watch it and go, "Well, what was unscriptural about you?" Then you're in trouble. You need a Bible study class. We have those on Sunday morning at 9:45. We do? Yeah, we do. For all ages and nationalities and creeds. That's right. We got them all. And then, not creeds, no. I'm just, look, don't take it too seriously, Vicky. Come on. Just, Torah. Come on, somebody. And so anyway, I better get on into the word. Listen, if you don't ever smile, you probably ain't really saved. You probably just stuck somewhere between religion and saved. Amen. So you just need to be saved and enjoy your salvation. Glory to God. And don't quit taking yourself so serious. Amen. 45 minutes after you die, the most important question is, where are we going to eat? Pass the potato salad. Amen. All right. It's all right. Don't be offended. There'll be plenty of other times to be offended. I know that. I think we got some first-time guests, and don't count this against me, because this is the way I am. So, but we got some really good preachers and folk that are here. Pastor Cash, Pastor Steve, and the other two ain't no good, but he's there. Just kidding. Hallelujah. Man, I sound like Justin up here or something, ain't I? I'll tell you, boy. Let's go to the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4. Everybody all right? Everybody feeling good?
Amen.
Amen. Here's what the Bible says. God's promising of entering His rest still stands. 2,000 years ago. Well, that was for then, preacher. No, you don't know your Bible. It's for now. God's promise of entering into His rest still stands, and so we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. For this good news that God has prepared, this rest, has been announced to us just as it was to them, talking about the children of Israel when they come out of Egypt. But it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. For only we who believe can enter His rest. Well, I don't believe in rest. Well, good, because it's for the believer. Only those who believe can enter His rest. As for the others, God said, "In my anger I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest, even though this rest has been ready since He made the world." Glory to God. Verse 4 says, "We know it is ready because of the place in the scriptures where it is mentioned the seventh day. On the seventh day, God rested from all of His work, not because He was tired, but because He was finished." All right, now let's go to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all you that are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Hallelujah. Those of you that are struggling to rest at night, I want you to hear me. For those of you that are struggling to find rest in your daytime, God said that there is a place that we can go into, even in the midst of hell, and still have peace and rest. God said that there is a place that you and I can go, that even though everything's going on around us, that God said, I haven't changed. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And even in the middle of your trial, you can be at rest because you know that I got this, that I am all things, that I can do all things, and you're going to be all right because you in me. So learn how to stay and enter into my rest. Amen. So, but now I love what the Bible says from the New King James Version of Matthew 11, 28. I don't have it up there, but it says, come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I wonder sometimes, does some of us not enter into that rest because we don't labor for him? Or we labor for us, but we don't labor for him. Now, I don't care who you are or what you do, everybody gets tired. If you don't get tired, it's probably because you don't do nothing. But here's the reality of it, is the more I do nothing, the tireder I get. Right? Hallelujah. And so, but we have to labor to enter into his rest. Now, I preached a whole hour last week on the first 3 points, I think, or something like that. So I'm starting tonight with part two, and I'm just going to go to it. I'm going to skip all my notes of the other three areas and just go straight to here. Now, the greatest level of faith we can experience comes when we rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now, here's what you got to understand, that it's already done. He's already done. You just got to get in there. It's like that, you know, if you ever built a house and you couldn't wait to get in that house, it's labor to get in there so you can rest, right? I remember the first house we bought, my wife and I bought a house, our youngest daughter was 4 months old, we bought a house and we were moving from a house that we were renting to the house that we were buying, and it was ready to go, but how many knows that the movers wasn't ready yet, so we began to move and we just moved a little bit over, and my wife said this, baby, let's just sleep on the floor here tonight because this is ours. And I thought, why don't you sleep on the floor and I'm going to go home and sleep in my bed. But I've been married long enough not to say something like that, stupid. So I go, oh, that would be so romantic, baby, sure. And we stayed there on the floor because it was ours. It was already, well, it was me, mine and the banks. It was ours and it was mine. And what I had to do is enter into it, right? It was mine before I ever got there. I just had to enter in there. It was mine before I ever got all of my clothes in the closet. And it was mine before I ever got my furniture in there. It was mine. And there are some of you that keep walking around a house that Jesus built for you called rest, but you won't go in because you think something is wrong or you think that you don't deserve it or whatever the case is. But I've come by to tell you tonight that Jesus has built you a house of rest, but you've got to enter into it. Whatever the obstacle is that is trying to keep you from entering is, that's what you come against, and recognize that before the foundation of the earth, he gave you this place. He gave you a place of rest where you could come into, and you don't have to live in a stressful life all of your existence. Good preaching, Pastor. So we've got to have confidence in what he's already done. We've got to realize that we need God. Do you realize that? We've got to realize that we need God, and that we do, or what we do on our own is not enough for us to see divine manifestations. You can't do it. I don't care how slick you are. You can't do it. What we do on our own is not enough for us to see divine manifestations. When the realization becomes a reality in our lives, we find ourselves at a place of humility where God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. When we realize that, God, I am at the end of my rope, that's when God says, you just beginning to get on my side, because I deal in impossibilities. I deal when you're at the end of your rope, when you're at your wits' end, that's when you can rest in me and I can give you rest, because you recognize that there's nothing else you can do. Hallelujah. Because we have no idea of what the future holds. We've got to have faith that he will show us the way in our Christian walk. My goodness, if I get a question as a pastor, that's what I get from so many people. Pastor, what is the will of God for my life? Let me tell you, I don't know. That's not what God's called me to tell you. But God's called you and me to explore and to find what God wants us to do. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, what I'm doing right now, I don't think the Lord wants me to do it. Maybe he's got you somewhere trying to train you and give you something that you're going to need down the road. So don't despise where you are. Learn everything that you need to learn where you are, because it's going to help you down the road. If you're not at the wheel, you're going to get to the wheel, and then you're going to begin to understand. Now listen, church. It's crazy, isn't it, when the Lord says, come here, John, come here. What's your name? Yeah. Come over here and go stand back there on the wall. And come on. Son, it's only a 30-minute show. Come on. So come on over here. Come on. Not with me. I know. I heard that. I was thinking that too. I didn't say it. All right. So now turn around. Put your nose against the wall. Now you stay there until you learn your lesson, Doc. No, I'm just kidding. Turn around. I just wanted to see if you'd do it. Anyway. All right. But let's just say that he's the promise of God. He was your promise. Come on, somebody. That's what I'm talking about. Come on, give me some high five. That's what I'm talking about. He was your promise. He ain't my promise. Come on. No. But he is a promise, right? So if he's your promise, but the problem, and I'm not talking about, listen, get your mind off of, yeah, I'm looking for my person. No. If the promise is there, what we want to do is we get into, especially us Pentecostals, we get into a Holy Ghost filled service. Woo! Yes, Lord, I received that promise. There it is. Let me go get it. But many times, God says, not right now. And now listen to this closely. You got to get this or you're going to miss it. The will of God and the promise of God are not necessarily the same thing. The promise of God is for you to reach down when you feel like giving up and remembering what God has promised. But the will of God, the road of his will, may take you in the opposite direction of the promise. But you got to keep walking the wheel. God, I don't understand why I got peace and I feel like you're calling me to walk this road when my promise is that way. God, I don't understand it. But I know that if I'll keep walking the will of God, if I will keep walking the road of your will, there are going to come things my way, and I'm going to come by things that I need to learn in order before I ever get to the promise. Because if I went straight from here to the promise, I would probably mess up the promise and get it all out of whack. But if I just stay on the wheel or the road of your will, eventually it's going to lead me to the promise. And when I get to the promise, then I'm going to appreciate the promise. When I get to the promise, I'm going to appreciate what you've done, and I'm going to be mature enough to handle the promise once it comes my way. And God will get you to the promise. Thank you. Thank you. So I've come by to tell you that just because you can't see the road doesn't lead directly to your promise doesn't mean that you're out of the will of God. It simply might mean that God's trying to do a work to you and through you so that when you get there, you won't mess it up. Listen, y'all better be glad. See, I know without a doubt I'm in the will of God. I'm in Crystal River Church of God. I'm the pastor, the senior pastor. I don't like saying senior because I'm getting older, so I'm the lead pastor. And so, watch it, you old geezer. So, but you guys are so incredibly lucky that the will of God took me by Bluntstown before I ever got here. Because if y'all think I'm rough now, good Lord, y'all should have seen me before Bluntstown. And I went through Bluntstown and went through some hard times. And some of those sandy places knocked some of the rough edges off of me. Just think how rough I was. Come on, somebody. You would take some of the, yeah, oh, John, he's just shaking his head. It took some of the rough edges off me. You don't know some of the hell that you went through. God used that sandpaper to make you look good like you do now. You don't understand that if you would have, if I would have came straight here and not went through Bluntstown, it might not have turned out the way we want it to turn out. You've got to recognize that the promise of God are yea and amen, but the will of God may take you through a trouble and take you through some trial, and the will of God may take you opposite of the promise, but if you'll stay on the road of His will, it will bring you into His rest, and His rest will lead you to the promise that He promised you. Good preaching, Pastor. Because it's no easy task to resist what the devil tries to tell us, what the world tries to tell us, and still believe God. But when we fully trust Him in any situation, we enter into the rest He has promised. Point number four is this. We must trust God to lead us through life. Leaning on Him gives us rest from our works. Leaning on Him gives us rest from our works. See, some of you hate your job, and the reason you do is because you're not leaning on Him. Because He helps you to rest in your work. Well, I hate my job. You better thank God you got one. Right? Pastor, I hate my job. Well, learn to love your job until God brings something else along. Right? What you don't want to do is, what's a better word? I shouldn't use that word. You may stink at your job, but you better enjoy it while you can. Until God brings something by. And you got to change your thinking. Change your thinking. I'm not just working for the man. I'm not working for so-and-so. I'm working for the glory of God. Because here's the thing. God said, if you'll be faithful over the little things, I'll make you ruler over many things. And some of you can't get a promotion because you won't be faithful at where you are. I can't get no help, but I'm going to preach anyway. I can't get no help, but I'm going to preach. We do not know what will happen tomorrow. What did James say? Life is a vapor. And not vaping. Life is a vapor that appears for a while and then vanishes. We must verbally confess God's will when we know it. We got to confess it. It's not up to us to decide where we will be. Or what we will be, what we will do in the future. We need Him to guide us. Now, I remember we was over in the old building, and we was running about 100 people or so, or 150, I don't know. And as a pastor, you know, I was going to say I'm a normal pastor, but I don't really think I am. But I'm a pastor. But you know, I want our church to grow, and you know, and I want it to succeed. And you know, we was over there, and I was working as hard as I could. We was running 100, maybe 150, I don't know. But somebody come up was talking about Benny Hinn back when Benny Hinn was over in Orlando. You know, it's like, oh, he's running 3,000. And I'm like, Lord, I just don't know, God. You know, I just, Jesus, you know. But then God gave me a different perspective. He said, and I'll never forget it. It was a Sunday morning. I was getting a little depressed. And I had to go out and preach. Boy, you ever heard a depressed preacher? It's not a pretty sight. It's not as horrible. Have you heard? I've heard several of them. I can name one, a couple of them I won't. But anyway, it's horrible. And so I said, Lord, you got to help me. And the Lord just kind of quickened my spirit. Said, between you and Benny, y'all run 3,100 people. Yeah, me and Benny run 3,100. Come on, 3,100. Now, Pastor, that's silly. No. I just had to get a different perspective. Because where you are, it may not be where you will be at the rest of your life. So you got to be okay with where you are, learn what you need, and be ready to move on for the next one. Are you with me? Because we need God to guide us. You know, I was trying to remember who it was. It may have been Pastor Cash. I don't know. But somebody said, the only difference between me and you, or talking about, because he was preaching, and I don't know if it was you or not, but you can tell me later. The only difference between me and you is that God's will is for me to be the pastor. And that's the truth. But we get upset because we don't want to be the pastor. Lord, I don't want to be the pastor. I want to be the piano player. Piano. West Virginia, Piney. West Virginia or Kentucky. Which one is it, boys? If West Virginia, the West Virginia reporting to the Kentucky is Kentucky. Kentucky's like, it's West Virginia. I don't know why y'all fight like that, like your brothers and sisters. But anyway. I don't want that. You know, but how many wants that? I mean, we've got to understand that God puts us and places us. And he knows what tomorrow is. Can he trust you where you are? See, the problem is we have a generation of people coming up that wants God to promote them above their giftedness. Or to promote them above their faithfulness. You know, listen, I was preaching. I'd only been preaching a little while, and I was talking to another older preacher, and I go, you know, man, nobody's ever received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues in any of my meetings. He goes, huh? He said, have you ever gave an altar call for it? I go, well, no. Here's your sign. I mean, you know? But we've got to be faithful where we are. And if you will be faithful to discharge where you are, then God will promote you. And remember this, promotion doesn't necessarily come from man. Because if man promotes, man can demote. But when you get promoted from God, it doesn't matter what man says. God was going to promote and bless, and it doesn't matter that what man says. Come on, somebody. It's not up to us to decide. It's not us to find our own way or direct our own steps. Jeremiah 10:23 says, I know, Lord, that our lives are not our own. We are not able to plan our own course. So correct me, Lord, but please be gentle.
I like that.
Do not correct me in anger, for I will die. Correct me and be gentle. See, if we try to improve ourselves through our own efforts, we will still have the same level of life. Now listen to me. Well, that's right. We need to go to self-help programs. And I don't have anything wrong. I don't see anything wrong with self-help programs. However, I think they ought to give God the praise and the glory for it. Because here's the deal. Every self-help program ever born, the 12-step program, it's right out of the Word of God. Amen. You read any Zig Ziglar, if you know who that is, it's right out of the Word of God. Any Max Lucado, all of his principles are out of the Word of God. Every successful person on the planet, there is a level of the Word of God that their principles that they are putting into practice and why they are succeeding. We cannot get the God kind of results unless God himself is working. We got to fear lest any of us fall short of the promise of entering into God's rest, Hebrews 4:11 said. Fear, in this context, means being cautious, aware, diligent, that we do not miss out. I mean, church, you know, we just got through youth camp, and I'm glad that they were touched, but I am appalled that the junior youth camp, first grade to fifth, people were being delivered from anxiety, children, fear, and anxiety. They were being delivered. What's wrong, Pastor? It's because we've got folks who are full of anxiety and fear who are raising children to be fear and have anxiety because they have lost or did not enter into the rest that Jesus Christ said that we could have. Listen, when you can't pay your bills, your 8-year-old don't need to know that. Quit having your 12-year-old answer the phone and tell them I ain't here. got to do a better job at this. If we want the world to get more secure in who they are, then we've got to become secure in who we are so that we can make them feel secure. Good preaching, Pastor. So God told his people that he would give them a land for which they did not work, cities that they did not build, and vineyards and olive yards to eat from that they did not plant. Joshua 24:13. And man, we love that scripture, especially those folks who want something for nothing. Pastor, the Lord said I didn't have to work. He was going to give me a house I didn't pay for.
The Bible says a man that don't work shouldn't eat.
This promise was based on his grace, not on what the people labored and worked for. All that was required was for them to claim those blessings, was for them and to rest in him. Now listen, you can't rest in him and not do nothing. So that's where we mess it up.
Well, he said that, Pastor, wait a minute. Now you said we can't work for it, but you said that we can't just feel like we're entitled to it.
You're not resting, or you're not working for it. You've got to rest in what he's already done. But in doing that, you've got to do what he asked you to do. Right? So all that was required was for them to claim that blessing. God told the people that when I bring you into that land that I promised to your fathers in Deuteronomy 6:10, he said he gave them things that they did not work. Here's what he said in verse 12. Do not forget to honor me and praise me for what I've given you. But the problem is we want, some of y'all won't understand this, I'll explain it, but we want to look a gift horse in the mouth. What we want to do is, well, is that all you're going to do? Well, God, is that it? You know, we have people who don't appreciate what anybody does. I know of a church, I won't call their name. That they needed to buy something that we had. And I gave them a ridiculous price on it. Because I might have even gave it to them, but it was for the youth. The money that was sold was going to help the youth do some things they wanted to do. So we still gave them a ridiculous price, but then they got upset because I didn't give it to them. In case you're watching, I know who you are. Aggravates the fool out of me. Well, they could have gave me that. Well, I could have charged you full price too. But ain't that the way we do God sometimes? Well, God, you could have. You know, look at that. Look at what God did for Scott. I don't know why he couldn't do it for me. Probably because you mumbling and grumbling and complaining and angry and wouldn't give him praise anyway. You know? The fastest way to stop the blessing of God in your life is not give him praise for what he's already done. Listen to me. We've got to get over this mentality that I'll praise him when everything's good. There's a woman, and again, I won't call her name either, but her children go to this church, and I thank God, and they're not in here right now, but they're her and their grown children. But she said this to me one day. She come up to me. She goes, you know, you're always trying to get us to praise the Lord. I go, yeah, I am. What, are you some kind of cheerleader? I go, yes, I am. Hoorah, rah. Because I know the score. I'm winning. Come on, somebody. So, yeah, I am a cheerleader. And here's what she said. She said, I'm not going to praise the Lord until all of my children are saved. And I go, boy, I'd hate to be your children. I'd hate to be your children. Because maybe God's waiting for you to praise him for the little things and so he can begin to deal with your children. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. See, the problem is we don't praise him for what we already have. I have no idea where I'm at, Craig, so just try to find me. There we go. We must learn to praise and thank him every day, even in the little things that we can take for granted. When you woke up this morning, you ought to gave him praise. God, I woke up this morning. But Pastor, I got up hurting. Well, glory to God, at least I can feel it. Come on, somebody. There are some people couldn't even feel their hip when they got up this morning. There's some folks that didn't have a leg when they got up this morning. At least yours is hurting. Bless God. Lord, I give you praise that I woke up this morning. I give you praise that I'm in my right mind. Lord, I give you praise for my wife, my children. God, I give you praise for my church. God, I give you praise for my job. Boy, don't you know what would happen? You start praying for your boss. Woo! Glory to God. Quit praying. God, strike him dead. Strike him dead. God, kill him. Kill him. Kill him. Kill him. God, get him. Get him. You know they treat me ugly. Get him. Get him. Get him. Won't you change it? Won't you change it? God, I thank you. I know they mean as a snake, but I declare in the name of Jesus that the sweetness of the Holy Ghost is coming in them, and they're going to have a good day today, because when they have a good day, it helps me have a good day in the name of Jesus. This right here is the takeaway. We've got to learn to praise God for the little things. You know, my dad taught me that. Most of you know I'm number 10 out of 11 children. We were poor. We had an OR on layaway. We wasn't poor, we were poor. My baloney didn't have a first name. We were poor. And my daddy always drove wrecked junk cars, and well, I'll never forget a blue Maverick car that was crushed in on the passenger side. And so I had missed the bus for whatever reason. But anyway, I had missed the bus. And he said, come on, son, I'm going to take you to school on my way to work. And we got about a mile or two away from the school, and the car broke down. And here's what he said. He said, well, praise the Lord. I'm about 16, 17. I had it up to here with the old praise the Lord stuff. And I said, Dad, what are you praising the Lord for? We're broke down again. And he looks at me and goes, because I got you to help me push. Come on, son. Learn. Listen, this is not something that comes naturally. But teach, train yourself to begin to praise the Lord for the little things. Number 5, I think. Yeah, okay. The world will contradict what God says to us. It is real work to believe his word. It's real work to believe his word. Why? Because you want to believe your eyes. You want to believe what everything else looks like. But God says, speak those things that aren't as though they were. What you've got to recognize is the spirit realm. And I'm going to get a little spiritual on you right here, so don't get woo. But the spirit realm is more powerful than the physical realm. The spirit realm, nothing happens in the physical realm before it ever happens in the spirit realm. That's why our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, the casting down of imagination, and bringing every thought into the captivity of Christ. That's why you got to make war in the heavenlies. That's why you got to pray in the spirit and war against the powers of hell before it ever comes into fruition. Let me tell you something. When you got saved, it wasn't a battle just you in the pew. It wasn't a battle you and your person. No, that was a battle that went on in the heavenly somewhere where Jesus stepped in and the Holy Ghost began to draw you, and you walked down an aisle or stood up, lifted your hand, whatever, and gave your heart to Christ. You got to recognize that there is a spirit warfare. So we cannot allow the world, our circumstances, our situations to contradict what we believe.
Well, I just ain't sure what I believe. Because you don't know the word of God. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God, and understanding of the word of God. That's why you need the Bible to fight against the enemy. See, we must labor to believe what the word tells us, not what the world tells us. This will be a work of faith for us. Because in essence, the work of faith is when we agree with what God says. That's the work of faith. We have to agree with what God says.
Well, I don't know God. I don't know what God says.
Then you, because you don't know the Bible. This Bible is not something we want you to read because it's boring. No, it is your weapon. You know, most people, not all, most people who are in the military, come on, lift your hand. You're in the military. All over. Come on, thank you for your service. Come on, give them a hand. Thank you for your service. Well, I don't know how it is in the other branches of service, but I had a brother in the Marine Corps, one in the Navy, one in the Air Force, the same one in the Air Force and the Army. That's another story. But anyway, my brother in the Marine Corps, he'd always tell you, this is my rifle. It is my best friend. I love my rifle. I mean, remember that. How many was in the Marine Corps? Does that sound familiar? Oh, all right. Sound a little familiar? I love my rifle. But do you know what? And he would tell me, he goes, you know, I would clean my rifle, not because I enjoyed cleaning my rifle. He said, out of all of the stuff that I did, that was probably the least my favorite thing to do. I love to shoot the rifle. I love to load the rifle. But I didn't like to clean the rifle. And so what we want to do is we want to come into God's army, get into God's place, and we're going to go, well, bless God, I'm a Marine. And you just want to start blasting things in the name of Jesus. Pow! 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 Yeah, baby. Oh, devils in hell. Bow. Yeah, baby. But you don't want to clean your rifle. You know, let me just help you. Now, how many, we got more than one, how many preachers we got up here? I know we got 1, 2, 3, 4. How many other just ministers? Come on, you preach somewhere. You maybe speak. All right, you got several more. Come on. All right, bunch of them in here. I don't know about the rest of y'all. Y'all might be more spiritual than me. But it would be so easy every time if I opened the Bible and God gave me a sermon out of it. Glory to God. Yes! That would be so good. Oh, Pastor, he don't do that to you? Yeah, pray for me. He don't. Now, there are times. I'm not digging, y'all. I got my phone kind of sideways. My phone way down here sideways, and it's just messing me up, man. So. I mean, how many of y'all thought I was just scratching my behind, right? Some of y'all did. Yeah, a couple of y'all. Like, he is digging in his behind right here in the church house. It's my phone that went sideways. I know, I messed y'all up. I know, I'm sorry. Well, I didn't want anybody online or anybody else thinking, man, that boy got some honey bugs or something. No. No. All right. Bring it back. Focus. My wife said focus. I think she's talking to me, not y'all. But anyway, focus. All right. So, but what we want to do is, you know, we want to come out here, and I don't know of any preacher that every time he opens the Bible, you know, it opens up and goes, "Ooh, yes." And then fire comes out and begins to write the sermon. That would, because if that happened, we'd be there all day. I would never quit reading the Bible. Oh, no. But after some, you know, so, and sometimes that happens. You know, you read something, you're like, glory to God, hallelujah. Can't wait to write this sermon down. But a lot of times you just, what in God's name did I just read? Am I making anybody feel better? Yeah. All right, let me go back and read. I'm reading again. I mean, I got to go to Walmart and get some toothpaste. Man, it's almost 4:00. I got to. Whew. Lord Jesus. Now, what was I reading? That didn't even sound like the same chapter I just read. Let me go back in here and read. All right. Now. Whew. It's Saturday night, 4:00. I got to finish up. I got to be up early in the morning. Good Lord. Lord Jesus, just please give me something, Lord. Oh, God. Right? Well, then, Pastor, why do you read your Bible? Do you do it every day? And I'm not going to get into legalism and go, I do it every day, because I don't every day. But most days, yes. First thing I do is read Scripture. How many? Well, it just depends how froggy I feel that day. But why do I do it? So that when I get into a battle, that my rifle is clean. It is in functioning, proper functionality, so that I ain't got to go and look in the Word. Let me find me a scripture to beat the devil up. No. I use what I got. I just start wearing him out with what I know. Come on, somebody. I start wearing him out in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that no weapon formed in hell shall prosper against me. It might form. It didn't say it wouldn't form. It just said it wouldn't prosper against me in the name of Jesus. My mind is in peace because I'm in peace because my mind is stayed on. And you start quoting scripture. You start fighting. The problem is, wouldn't you hate to be with somebody who you're in the middle of a battle and they're over there cleaning their gun? What are you doing? Oh, I got to clean it because I ain't cleaned it in 7 years. No, you want somebody, man, when it starts coming, they just whip out that Uzi and go, yeah, 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 yeah. Y'all done wore me out. I done wore some of y'all out here. I'm just trying to see what I can skip over. I got to quit here soon. All right. Our works of faith differ from the works of the law, which are based on our own self-efforts. 1 Peter 5:7. Says, cast all your cares upon me, for I careth for you. Man, that's exciting. That Jesus cares enough for me that says he'll carry my load. We must believe this strongly enough to actually do it. The devil will attack us on this point and try to shake our faith. But here's what Paul said. Be careful for nothing. In all things. In every situation. By prayer and thanksgiving, bringing your requests unto God. Philippians 4:6. Letting go of our cares, fears, anxieties depend on how well we learn to rest in Him. Don't point at them if they're here tonight. But we all know people, if they get a hangnail, it's a major problem. It's a major problem. But then other people, can have serious issues and sleep like a baby. Now, let me help some of you. I know what it is. You know, Pastor Cash, when I first started pastoring, when I first came to this church, it seemed like I always knew what to do. It seemed like I didn't have to wrestle with what to do. Something arise, I just knew what to do. Was it because she was that smart? No. And then I noticed that the older I got and the bigger our church got, the more I wrestled with the right decision. And I went to the Lord. I said, God, why do I wrestle now? Do I not trust you like I once did? Do I not rest in you like I once did? Here's what the Lord said. He said, no. Now you realize you have more to lose than you once did. Now, Pastor, is that right or wrong? I don't really know. I think it's a little bit wrong, but I think it's good that you take stock of where you are and what's going on around you so that you don't just haphazardly, you know. Because, you know, you can recover from a $5 mistake, right? A little bit harder when it's a $5,000 mistake. You know, you're doing your checkbook, you're off a couple of pennies, no big deal. You're off several thousand, huge problem. But we got to learn to rest in Him. When Jesus was teaching the crowds and they became hungry, remember this? In John chapter 6, verse 10, the crowds became hungry. He told the disciples to make them sit down. And in the Amplified version, it says, for them to recline, to rest. God's got this. Here's what you got to know. I think it's my next one. What's my next one, Craig? The place of peace is where we find manifestations. When you come into the peace of God, that I'm all right, Lord, whatever and however you want to do it, I'm resting in you. I'm resting in you. As people under the covenant of grace, we can find rest in Jesus because He is the Word of God and we rest in Him. I've got a couple of more, but I'm going to quit right there. Come on, stand to your feet so we can enter into His presence for just a little bit more. I sense Him in this place tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. Would you just lift up your hands? Last Wednesday night, we had an awesome, awesome time around the altars, entering into His grace. And tonight, I just want to open that up again. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise is what I do when I want to be close to you. I live my hands to you, praise.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.